KSDR welcomes you to this week's edition of On the Water and in the Air. It's not always about where the fish are biting or where the birds are flying. It's talk about how to go get them.
On the Water and in the Air with your hosts Neil Jensen, Randy Aggermeyer, and Lynn Jurens.
Another week of On the Water in the Air where, you know what, people who know everything about catching fish and hunting, they don't tune in. This is for people eager to find something new, learn something new, and kind of take us into the next generation of the outdoors. This morning, everyone, welcome again. We're going to head up to northern Minnesota and one of our favorite lakes in the whole world. And we're one of our favorite anglers in the walleye world and in all of the country, because this guy works very, very hard to get better and do different things that change things in the world of the walleye fishing and the fishing in general. So let's just check to see if we have Brett King on the line here with us this morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning, Brett. We always love live from the lake, live on the water. That's kind of why we call this On the Water a little bit, but literally this morning we're on the water. Brett, tell us where you are at and who's with you.
Yeah, I'm in beautiful Walker, Minnesota, Leech Lake, doing a little practice for a couple of the AIM Weekend Walleye Series events this weekend with my son Lucas, who happens to be 19 years old today.
Uh-oh.
As a matter of fact, so pretty special day.
Great day. Happy birthday, Lucas. And he's old enough to run the front of that boat while you're talking on the radio, isn't he?
Yeah, he's working right now as I'm just kind of watching the depth finder and make things happen here.
Oh, awesome. Well, Brett, you're just coming off, you know, there's probably a little bit of an extra get up in your step this week. You're coming off a really, really hard-fought, well-earned win out on Saginaw Bay on the National Walleye Tour event, which is, you know, the premier event in the walleye fishing world right now. You know, feeling good right now?
Yeah, it's been a pretty overwhelming week. Just the outpouring of congratulations and things like that. It's pretty much kept me on my toes all week. You know, they just don't come around often enough, that's for sure. This isn't generally a sport where you can just absolutely dominate, you know, day in, day out. There's so many variables in it. But, yeah, no, it's been pretty special. And it had been long overdue feeling for me. So, yeah, I'm just soaking it all in and enjoying it.
You know, top tens are not abnormal for Brett King, but he's right. I mean, to get a win in the world of walleye, in the world of any fishing event, is extremely challenging. But Brett has been positioning himself for these top fives and these top tens and these wins for quite a few years. And you know, cut his teeth on a very strong body of water that's, you know, can be very good for trolling, very good for, you know, pitching, very good for rigging, you know, all of the things that it takes to go out there and travel around the country. But there was some things that have been changing in the walleye world, and Brett has embraced those, and he loves to do them, and that was kind of the key to this this past weekend.
Yeah, you know, we used to go to these what I would call Great Lakes Big Water events, and it was troll. I mean, you literally took four rods with you, six rods with you, a set of planer boards, and that's what you would go do. And you would just cover water and get these roaming schools of open water fish. And over the past, oh, I would say, you know, 5 to 7 years, I suppose it's been, it's really been coming to light how you can catch these fish casting. And there's nothing I'm more comfortable doing than having a rod and reel actually in my hand, throwing at a specific piece of target or structure that these fish are relating to. instead of just chasing these roaming fish, you know, you're actually throwing at a bullseye, and that's where those fish will be. So now, with that being said, it's become more like go to these Great Lakes events and leave your trolling rods at home or in the rod locker most of the time.
Yeah.
And you cast them.
And you cast them. But we want to let everyone know, and I wasn't there. I haven't asked the question, but I'm guessing 95 to 98% of the guys were trolling, which made the difference.
Yeah, there was a lot of fish down in the lower bay at Saginaw Bay, and guys were definitely pulling, you know, spinners and meat and crankbaits on them, getting kind of sucked into that trap of going through numbers to get to your quality. And it was probably easy to do. I didn't do it a lot in practice, but you could definitely go out and catch, you know, 30-plus fish a day in that lower bay. A lot of them were 19, 20 inches. And, you know, just kind of talk yourself into the fact that you're going to catch a good one every now and again, and you might get 5 good bites in a day. I went the totally opposite direction of the fact that I went to a bite where I was hoping I could get 5 bites in the time frame I had. But when I did get bit, I pretty much knew it was going to be, you know, 3 to 6 pounds. And it was going to be a walleye. I mean, I caught a few lake trout doing what I was doing. But for the most part, when I did get bit, it was definitely going to be a walleye, and it was going to be a nice one.
So good morning to Stephen Piech, Jim Peters, Lenny Eubanks, Brad Johnson. Good morning. Where are walleyes hiding on Compesca? That's a local lake here. Well, first of all, we have to have walleyes. I mean, there's a few in there, but anyway, we're up in Leech Lake, Minnesota right now, visiting with Brett King, a recent winner on Saginaw Bay, which is the thumb of Lake Huron out on the eastern side of the state of Michigan. But Brett has the has been at this game a long time, and right now is fishing what we call an AIM event, which is an Angler Insight Marketing, a catch, record, release event. These events started, I believe the last time there was a Pro-Am event was an AIM event back in, 2007, 2008? So, you know, we've evolved a lot with those events, and Brett was involved in the design of these events too. So, you know, Brett, tell us a little bit about AIM and that Saginaw event. Did it help, or, you know, was that an old memory?
No, I mean, it was, I actually didn't fish that Saginaw AIM event, to be honest with you. I had other commitments at the time. Last time I had been to Saginaw Bay was, I'm even going to date myself even more here, was the PWT, and I believe that was back in, 2002?
Uh-huh.
If memory serves me correctly, so.
Yeah.
Basically, went into Saginaw Bay with just a fresh mindset. You know, just a new body of water to me. You know, never plugged in any old coordinates or nothing. Just went out there and fished.
And that's kind of fun. Now, we were talking about a technique, and it's been well read about with a lot of the insiders in the walleye world, and it's getting out there to the outside, you know, country also. You know, pitching. You know, pitching lipless crankbaits, pitching large plastics, heavy plastics to structure. I'm wondering when that's going to move, and I know it already has somewhat, but, you know, give people an idea of what we're doing. And I'd like to also stress most of these fish people are big fish, and if you could just throw most of these back, that'd be an awesome idea, which is what they're doing up on Leech Lake this weekend, too.
Yeah, we just caught a really nice stick that's going to go right back in the water, probably.
Yeah, is that your son doing that?
Yeah, I'm just sitting back watching him do all the work right now. It's kind of enjoyable. He's done it to me for years, so.
It's very relaxing to do that, isn't it? Come on, kid.
It is.
This is how you learn how to survive in the walleye world right here.
Right. Let me throw you into the school of piranhas and see how you come out.
Yes, exactly. this technique, I think, our listeners have probably maybe heard about it, but essentially, you can't just throw an everyday crankbait out there. You're going to get them some days because they're going to be very active. They're going to come up, but a lot of these fish are kind of full of food. They're not really biters. I mean, we need a reaction type of bite out of them.
Yeah, you do, and that's exactly what I was doing. You know, triggering a reaction type bite. Those glide type baits have just become a phenomenal presentation to me. It's something I can't learn enough about, and it just plain works. The fish I was targeting were absolutely gorging themselves on gobies. So, of course, you try to kind of replicate what a goby might do, scooting in and out of the rocks. And they were just plain healthy fish. When you did get them to bite, they were exactly what I felt we were looking for to take home the win on this tournament. I had to throw an old motto away that I've kind of sat on for years, in the fact that, you know, I've always said I've never seen a win coming. And last week out on the bay, it just, everything felt like it was right. And, you know, I said early on in practice, talking to friends back home, I'm like, man, if the weather holds and I can pull this off and make this run, I think this one could actually happen. So, That was kind of refreshing. Now I can say I actually kind of felt like I saw one coming.
Yeah. You know, the one thing different since 2002, they tried, Randy and I were chatting with Chip Learby on Thursday morning when you guys were heading out to your 2-hour-plus run. The equipment back in 2002 and prior to that, it was all beat up and it wasn't making it back. So equipment's, you know, certain types of equipment and the way they're making boats and the way they're doing things has kind of helped this also, hasn't it, Brett? Because these are long runs for this rock type of stuff.
Absolutely. I mean, it's no doubt it's a daunting thing to think about what you're about to do. You talk to anybody, you know, you talk about 2-hour runs. It was actually three. I mean, we had a 50 minute plus no wake idle out of the Saginaw River. So you had 50 minutes to think about, okay, what am I going to face once I get out of the river mouth and actually out in the lake? And anybody that's spent any amount of time on the Great Lakes itself knows over the course of 20 miles, let alone, you know, 80, you can go from flat, calm water to a 4-plus-foot chop, in a matter of minutes. I distinctly remember each day coming back, I would get to about the Charity Island area, and obviously an area that was swept with a lot of current, and it would just be real sloppy in there, no distinct direction to the wave. And it would be that way for about 10 miles. And the whole time you're thinking, man, I got 40 miles to go to get back. If it's going to be this way all the way home, you know, I might not make it.
Yeah.
You're calculating fuel mileage, you know, and things like that. You know, my Yamaha gauge has definitely helped me with that. I could dial up. My target was to hold about 2.8 miles to the gallon, which I was able to do that. You know, on the flat water at 50, 51 miles an hour, you know, with my yard craft. But you're right. It's a lot about equipment. You got to have, you know, suspension seats make your ride more comfortable. I have the new Smooth Moves air systems in my boat, which have been just proven to be a step above what they had before, without a doubt. Because to get there, you know, not be fatigued, mentally fatigued. It's all about the equipment, no doubt. It's come a long ways. I don't think in 2002 type era any of us would have thought about making these kind of runs, you know, without the equipment we have today.
Well, and there's a, you know, you answered it already for Dave Phillips. He was asking how much time it was taking to get up there. Lenny Eubanks is saying, Brett, thanks. You're a huge inspiration to so many people in the fishing world. Keep up the great work. But, you know, you kind of have to, I've been thinking, you have to make these kind of runs because you can't have a big, huge crowd on these spots. It's crystal clear water. There's not tons of fish on these spots. So, you know, that's kind of playing a part in this also, is you've got to get away from the crowds. You've got to make the decision that, you know what, if there's 10 guys on this rock pile, I better have 10 more rock piles.
Oh, and that's exactly it. I spent the better part of 3 days in this area for practice just trying to find a small milk run. I didn't want a big milk run because I didn't have time for a big milk run once I got there. I mean, you're talking six and a half hours of driving for three and a half hours of fishing a day.
Yeah.
And I had to have a fuel stop in there. So I looked at specific small pieces of structure that I could fish quick and get out of there. The fish would generally show themselves very fast. Within the first few casts, because you're looking at a small area. There was some bigger structure up there that was holding fish, but it could suck you in for an hour, 2 hours of your time thinking, well, 10 more feet, I'll find them. 10 more feet, I'll find them.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, your mere 3 hours is gone.
Yeah.
So it was a very targeted plan. That paid off this time, and I mean I couldn't be, you know, kind of more happy with how it played out and what I was able to pull off.
Is the advent of more powerful trolling motors, spot lock, is that playing a part in this? And then after we get done with that, we'll head back west here, and we'll talk about Leech Lake and the next event on Devil's Lake, but. Any other equipment like the trolling motor or anything like that that's playing a role in this too, Brent?
No, absolutely. You know, the trolling motors are always a big part of what we do. It was flat calm the second day. I'd have to drop in deep and pull my way in. Same thing in practice. One of the things the second and third day I spent on this structure up there, it was pretty much flat calm for the most part. So that allowed me to go out, catch a fish, sneak in there with my trolling motor. There was about 30-plus feet of water clarity there.
Ooh.
And I could go right in where I caught that fish and see exactly what they were relating to and kind of, you know, pinpoint exactly what I was looking for. No doubt the GPS has come into play. Was able to plot out and make a trail on my Lowrance unit that took me the most direct route. When you travel that far across big water, it's pretty easy to get weighed off your path and go left for what seems like nothing, but all of a sudden you just lost 5 minutes, you know, because
yep.
You went a roundabout way. So, you know, myself and Joe Cotta and Robert Blosser, the night before, we actually sat out and drew the most direct path we could out, made a trail, made a path, and loaded it up on the Lowrance. And no doubt, 5-10 minutes of fishing time was absolutely precious on this bite. So.
Yes. Well, northern Minnesota, Leech Lake, in the final 30 seconds, expectations are some big weights, I would imagine.
Yeah, we're right. Definitely, I just got here, so I haven't even caught a walleye yet, but the mayfly hatches in full bloom. They're everywhere on top of the water, so that's going to change things a little bit for sure. It doesn't look like it's going to be a free-for-all, but that's kind of the way I like it. I like it to be a little bit of a challenge.
Yes.
But, you know, Lenny Eubanks, everybody that's chiming in, thank you so much. The outpouring of congrats and support, and you know, everything has just been absolutely overwhelming. Just kind of makes you feel like you've done things the right way and taken the right path through all this.
Yes. Well, thank you, Brett. Thank you for sharing some of your walleye wisdom, which has been over many, many years of working extremely hard. And there's no one harder working in this industry than Brett, and it paid off this time. There's a few others that are chiming in here. They'll have their when you go to check this out tonight, Brent, there's some other guys that are saying hello. Chris Graber.
Perfect.
Chris Graber. Let's see. I saw Tanner Thomas chime in. I'm not sure if he's on his way to his guiding spot on Devil's Lake, but thank you, everyone, for tuning in, and thank you, Brett.
All right. Thank you, guys, very much. As always, I appreciate the support, and thank you for having me on.
All right. Happy birthday, Lucas. Go catch yourself a nice walleye today and get on a bite. All right.
Yeah,
take care.
Yeah, he's got to get busy. He's kind of holding up the show here.
Oh, has he been listening to his dad, learning how to do radio interviews?
Yeah, I'm going to have to kick him in the tail and get him to work here.
All right. Have fun. All right. For another week, take care, Brett. For another week of On the Water in the Air, we're going to send this over to Randy Grimes, and thanks for everyone joining.